What is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. Two hosts, not this guy, Mike and John. Bring the bomb blast. On your face, feet, never pop pass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Smarts, not super fast. Stiff, much better than a gas. Mr. Loud Show, rebroadcast.
Welcome to episode 1 of season 9 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside Mike. I am Johnny. And welcome to the show.
Yeah, hopefully it's up and running and eventually we'll figure out if we've got it covered at least, but my computer is heavy just for the future.
Oh, okay. So that's why probably why you broke out such a sweat bringing it over here.
Yeah, man. That weather, huh?
So, one of the fun things about starting a new season is that since last season, I've gotten a ton of new t-shirts that I'm excited to wear on the show. Last week, I wore my Tommy Hilfiger Beavis and Butthead t-shirt. This week,
John Carroll University.
That is a college that is...
From any given Sunday.
A quarter mile from where I grew up, from my house where I grew up. And, I don't know... 150 meters from where my dad currently lives. So one morning, I had a t-shirt, and I wore it so much that it disintegrated. And then when I went this year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a new one because I need to replace the old one. So one morning when I was in Cleveland, I took a half an hour, walked over there, and bought a new t-shirt.
Excellent.
So that's the one I got. Pretty nice.
I haven't worn this one ever.
First of all, that is in the world of great graphics, that is a really good one.
It's like
what if Thanos was a Transformer?
What if Thanos? Okay. Hold on. I want to check and see if we're actually logged on because the video spinny thingy is still spinning and it doesn't say that we have any listeners.
That's a really good one.
All right, fantastic. All right. We are good. Okay. Here's what I wanted to say about this shirt. I do love the shirt, but those of you who can see it, okay? The font of the name of the band doesn't match the band. It's got this,
yes,
like,
it's got
death, like the Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino font.
It's got a grindhouse.
Yeah, like that. And yet it's got a Transformer on it, which is already sci-fi, but then it's a dying Transformer, and it's also
a technical, melodic death metal, progressive death metal band.
Progressive, melodic, technical death metal.
Why is it that order?
It probably has to do with the adjectives used.
Oh, it's like a grammatic thing?
Maybe. They're all adjectives, so sometimes, like, I don't know if you've ever thought...
Progressive, melodic, technical death metal.
Yeah, there's okay, I should know this because I'm a teacher and I teach English. So there's an order, just like you wouldn't say red shiny apple, you say shiny red apple, right? So the things that's there, it's like first it's like your opinion, and then it's the age, and then the material, and then the like that kind of thing, and there's a whole order to it. But I don't want to think about it because it's Thursday, and it's like Thursday.
Yeah. That's the hardest part about having meetings late on Thursdays.
Plus, it flows better.
By the way, technically, I have a meeting right now.
Yes, you do. With all of you special people.
No, a work meeting, and I already told them that I wasn't coming.
Oh. I was going to have a work thing. I was supposed to go out with a bunch of teachers tonight and do like a teacher night out thing. And I was like, Thursday night's not good for me. And they're like, okay, everybody, so we're off for Thursday night. I'm like, Thursday night is not good for me. And they were like, all right, we're all going to party.
So did they go?
No, we canceled it because one of our colleague's parents passed away. And
Both parents?
One of my colleagues.
The parent of one of my colleagues passed. One of the parents. Because you say parents.
Melodic.
Once you say, when you say parents, and we're not hearing the apostrophe. I can't hear an apostrophe.
It's an S apostrophe.
There's actually a an actress and singer that I follow and whatever, and recently, like, both her parents died, like, at the same time. They found them dead in their house. It's crazy. Well,
that doesn't seem like a normal... See, this thing is supposed to turn into something else, and it's supposed to give us... Hold on, let's see what happens. Save changes. Does that...
Hold on. No,
I'm going to fix it. It's supposed to give us an option to see all of the comments here, and it's not giving us that button.
Oh, I can't
and
check
it's just
on my phone.
Going. Anywho's it's...
I was about to check
I'm sorry, I apologize. We're still working out kinks.
I don't have Facebook on
there. Like, you removed it completely?
From my phone, yeah.
But not Twitter?
Oh, I've never Twitter. Had Twitter.
So there's no social media on your phone other than WhatsApp?
There's WhatsApp. There's Instagram.
Right.
I don't know. Messenger.
Is Instagram draining less of your attention than Facebook did?
No, it's just much Facebook more was... entertaining. And I have 9GAG and Pinterest and Imgur, but I don't use Imgur. But it's entertaining. Facebook is not.
I thought you said that you had... made Facebook.
I did, and it's
so
still
smooth
boring.
And
still
it's just
boring. It's boring and boring. And what I like about Instagram is that it's all visual.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, most of the people that I know are not on Instagram. So it's like it's not a good.
I don't care.
Well, that's what Facebook's for.
I don't really care. If I by at this point, okay, used to be. Where I was like, Facebook is great because it allows me to stay in touch with people who I don't talk to regularly. Well, now that I've had Facebook for as long as I have, I'm in touch with all those people regularly now.
Right. So, because you're on Instagram?
Because I message them directly on Facebook, on WhatsApp, whatever it is. So
you use Facebook Messenger more now even than Facebook?
I use, well, yes, but the only person I communicate with regularly on Messenger is my father, because my father, for some reason, refuses to use WhatsApp with me. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but he won't use it.
It's like people who 15 years ago were like, I'm never, ever, ever going on to Facebook. Facebook is the devil. And now they're on Facebook.
So that was a lie. Yeah, it's just not fun for me.
Sometimes people just choose.
And it's not that it's even not fun, it's just boring.
Remember when Dr. Delight was like, come use Google Buzz.
I mean, I do remember the 1 week where
Google Buzz was a thing.
No, Google Play, no.
Google Plus?
Google Plus?
Google Plus was a thing.
For like a week, and it was terrible, and everybody stopped using it.
You remember Ray William Johnson on Equals 3 used to murder Google Plus, and he used, I can't remember the other social media app.
He's a good follow on Instagram.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's still making the videos, just like...
He's doing video... He does, like, what he used to do. He does some skits, but he's doing, like, well, kind of what he used to do anyway. He's just making reels out of it. He'd be like, hey, tell me what you guys think of this. And he shows a viral video, then he makes a comment on it. It's usually pretty funny.
Okay. All right. That's, at least he's surviving. He was on Facebook for a very long
time. Dude, they all survived.
No. Who's they?
I mean, like, I don't know. There's a crew of people that I associate him with. I don't know why I associate him with Kasim a little bit.
Kasim is...
But Kasim sold his thing to Disney. Like, he made a bunch of money, I'm sure.
But he still does things. He was at the Oscars, the Grammys, He was somewhere with a bunch of...
When?
Recently. He was at an award show. Kasim G was
The only thing I remember... seeing him on...
Hold on. But some people don't know who he is because he's been off of YouTube for...
Yeah, he
feels like
took
10
his,
years
and
now.
And he took his videos down because he didn't like him anymore. So he took...
Kasim G was a YouTube artist who used to make crazy, wacky videos. He had a... Well, his famous one was Kasim... What was it? He asked questions on, like, California? Kasim on...
I never watched him. I didn't find him funny or...
Oh, romantic. I thought he was hilarious. He would just, like, ask people questions on Venice Beach, and they would always have insane answers because...
Oh, the people on drugs. No, people in Venice Beach are nutty. It's, like, a nutty area.
And then Kasim would go to Comic-Con every year, but he also had, like, a talk show for a little while that had insane background graphics and was just insane... There was just, like, laser sharks, and he would just answer people's questions, but it was... Like, oh, he was with Norm.
Yes, I saw him with Norm 10 years ago.
Fine,
but he was with Norm and whatever her name is, Jenna Marbles, maybe.
I don't know.
On it was like the first ever YouTube awards show, right? So Norm comes dressed in like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, so he's already like. And then he just, like, proceeds to make every horrible joke ever and just offends everybody, and it was amazing. Anyway, so at one point he goes, he does this hilarious, I don't know how funny the joke is, but it's an old Norm joke. He goes, you know, I went to the doctor the other day. He's not a very nice man, my doctor. He says, notice my weight, and he says, open your mouth and say oink. And Cassin goes, oh, Norm. He goes, you need better health insurance. And he goes, health insurance? My doctor called me a fat pig. And Cassim goes, well, he wouldn't be wrong. And Norm goes, oh, Cassim. And Cassim goes, I'm sorry, I have an acid tongue. And he goes, yeah, you're an acid tongue Arab.
What?
Just calling him out on his Arab. He's like Lebanese or Syrian, his family.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore. I just remember that there was like this
acid-tongued Arab.
It was just like there was like this golden age. It feels like there was like this golden age of YouTube personalities, and some of them are gone, and some of them aren't. And it's
they had the Lonely Island guys on. He goes, Norm goes, or as I like to call him, Sandberg and the other fellas. Anyway. So I guess we should talk about some of the stuff that's going on in the world. And one of the things that's going on in the world, and I guess it's relevant because it was today, is that this is the one-year anniversary of the Capitol Hill riot. All right?
I was just watching Yoyli making fun of that. You know Yoyli, that Haredi comedian?
He's not a Haredi comedian. It's his Modi dressed as a
Chabad
guy.
So whatever, he had a whole thing about
So here's
about
some interesting, here's some Capitol Hill statistics for you. The FBI has been swamped by evidence. Agents have sifted through 15,000 hours of footage from surveillance and law enforcement body cameras, electronic communications from some 1,600 devices, and more than 2,700,000 tips from the public. As of January 5th, that's yesterday, at least 220 people had been charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers, 75 of them charged with using a deadly or dangerous weapon to seriously injure an officer. So far, at least 150 of the over 720 people charged with federal crimes related to the riot have pled guilty. So they found everybody, and it was like funny. It was like what was weird at the beginning was the people who were like seemed really proud of it. And I remember watching. Okay, first I remember seeing the shaman guy, right?
With the horns?
With the horns. And I'm like, this guy is a moron. First thing I was also thinking was like, all these people are... First of all, why are these people broadcast? Like,
why are these people what?
At the very worst, right? The very least of what they're doing is some form of breaking and entering and vandalism, right? The very worst of what they're doing is treason.
Right.
So...
Did you think it was treason?
Did I think it was treasonous? Here's what I actually think is that the people who stormed the... Now, I disagree with them, obviously. But I think the people who broke in believe that they are... At least at the time, because they hadn't... I think they believe they were the heroes in the story, right? They were fighting what they thought was a bogus election... They were trying to stick up for their guy, and in their twisted logic, they were trying to save America. They were trying to take the Capitol back unto for themselves, like for what they thought was the what is right and true and good in America. Now, they're wrong. They're wrong, and I don't agree with them.
I mean, that's pretty much how every... bad guy does bad
stuff. But I believe that at least at the beginning, until there were actual consequences for their actions, that most of the people felt, and I believe there's probably still a number of people who still feel, even though they're under indictment or facing jail time or whatever, to still feel that they're right, and that that the election was stolen, and that there was all this illegal stuff going on.
And they're lizard people.
The lizard people, I don't think... I mean, there might be some crossover between the two, but I don't think that's...
No, I'm just, like, saying that people who believe a certain thing are no different than other people who believe something that you consider wacky.
It depends. The thing is, though, is it true or not?
It what?
In other words...
Was the election stolen?
Listen, I can find enough evidence that makes me... to cast doubt on some of the things that happened during
evidence?
The election.
That's a strong word.
They kept finding votes throughout the night.
That was weird. Definitely rumors that were going
it
around.
It was weird. It was definitely weird, okay? I can't find anything about lizard people running the world as part of a secret cabal.
I bet you
that's
going to
make me go, I really think that there might be some validity. No, come on, Michael. It's good stories. I like conspiracies because they're crazy and nutty.
Which YouTube I was just watching... Oh, there is a... I want to get back to the Capitol riots, but I was just watching a YouTube comedian on Netflix, some new guy, and he has this bit. He was the guy who opened for Dave Chappelle when Dave Chappelle was doing his Ohio cornfield stuff at the very beginning of COVID.
Okay.
And he has a whole bit about what we were just saying about the lizard people. And now, I can't remember exactly what it was. But he was very good, and I definitely want to
recommend it.
But I don't remember its name.
But just remember, my good tangent friends, the power of shape-shifting as a lizard person is not a power. And this is according to our conspiracy guy, who I see around still, but haven't spoken to in a long time. Who says that the Jewish soul does not have the power.
The comedian's name is Mo Amer. M-O-A-M-E-R. And the name of the show is Muhammad in Texas. And it's effing hilarious. You would love it. It's really funny. Making fun of whatever the hell we were just talking about. Yeah.
So I just think it was one of those things, though, that as I saw it, and as I saw some of the clips, and as I followed the story, where it was like one of those, wow, I never thought I'd see anything like that in my lifetime. Like a bunch of random citizens, like, breaking into the Capitol building?
I don't see why that's such a big deal. I bet you 98% of the people that stormed the Capitol building were being swept by each other, going, oh my god, I can't believe we're actually going in. I think a lot of them...
But they did it.
Because once they went in, how many people... There were two people killed at the whole thing?
There was the one woman who jumped through the window and got shot in the chest.
Right, okay.
And I think that was it.
Wasn't she a cop?
No.
The woman who was shot was not
a
cop.
Oh, was she, like... Oh, in her own personal life?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I do remember not feeling super bad for her. I do remember that.
Okay.
And when, listen, as Ben Shapiro says, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
So they got into the Capitol building.
Yeah.
You know how back in the day when you used to walk around Bar-Ilan sometimes hanging out, loitering around certain campus buildings?
Sure.
The fancier the building, the more you were like, can't believe I'm here.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
It's crazy that I'm here. I'm sure a lot of them were doing that too.
Yeah, but I never walked away with Nancy Pelosi's lectern. Okay, I didn't sit at the president of the university's desk and stick my feet up.
You don't know that people
didn't take pictures and post them on social media, except for the time where I totally vandalized all the fountains the night before my wedding, and to show you how smartly and well thought out that plan was, look how my marriage turned out. Anyway.
During the Vietnam War, people who were protesting the Vietnam War, what's it called? When they, like, took over buildings?
Like, they have, like, sit-ins.
Yeah, but they would, like, take over the buildings.
They would go into the building, and then they would sit down.
There were... You're telling me a bunch of college people walked into the dean's office, and everybody sat down, and you don't think anybody stole the dean's coffee cup? Come on, Johnny.
They might have.
Yeah, come on. These people...
But they didn't have the opportunity to take 1,000 pictures of themselves doing it.
That's true. I don't know...
I do want to know, like, the guy who stole Nancy Pelosi's lectern.
Yeah.
What in God's name did he think was going to happen?
Oi! this is the greatest Stender I've ever seen. He just walked off.
And then he waves to the camera like, ha ha, I'm stealing this. Like, dude, you're going to jail. Whether it's...
How long is he going to jail for?
I think that guy is going for 6 months.
Okay, it's probably worth it.
Is it worth it?
That dude has a Facebook profile pic on Facebook. The best one in the whole goddamn world.
I watched a video that was about this one. It's a company that does sports journalism. That's not important. The important thing is, as part of their origin story, at one point they got arrested and spent 17 hours in lockup. And he said that was like the worst thing that's ever happened to him in his entire
just
life.
Just being in lockup?
Being locked up for 17 hours. Do we have messages?
Yeah, some people. Yeah, I haven't been checking them.
All right, I'm not reading them anyway. Does anybody tell me I'm wrong for saying that?
The Shaman had a buddy also in Buckskin who was the son of the former head of the Young Israel International.
I hope that kid goes to prison too.
Son of Jewish son, led a synagogue, was among the mob. That's it. That's all we got. All
right, fine. Hey, so it's just something that I think needs to be covered. I think it's something that needs to be acknowledged, because it's like an extreme thing. I think it's a crazy thing.
It's boring already. It happened. It's over. The next
thing. But they're going to talk about every 6th of January forever.
You think so?
Yeah, especially the people who are calling it an insurrection. Like, I don't know that I would go that far. I think it was a bunch of idiots.
Well, I think it's just a bunch of people who just couldn't believe where they ended up, and they just ended up going in there. Yeah, the three or four guys who did some crazy stuff, like stealing the lectern or just being the
They were, like, close to some elected officials that they could have potentially...
But they didn't.
They didn't.
And they didn't...
They're like, they were this close to Mike Pence. I'm like, Mike Pence? They love Mike Pence. That's their boy. Like, AOC is the one who needed to be worried.
All through the election and all through the year, there were times where there were people on the right who were ready to murder Mike Pence because he said the wrong thing. And close to the end now, the right are very upset right now because Trump said that he was like, of course I got the third vaccine. Why wouldn't I get the third vaccine? It's the smart thing to do. And he said that in an interview, and now everybody's really upset with him.
Well, why wouldn't they be? He spent a whole year letting thousands of Americans die by giving them misinformation and then taking care of himself and doing that. That's terrible. It's a disgusting act. But what I think is the issue with the Republicans and their feelings about Mike Pence is that when you're talking about Trump fans, right, and Trump fans are much less the usual Republican establishment, right? Trump fans dislike Mike Pence because Mike Pence represents traditional Republican establishment, and they don't like that either. They like their maverick guy with the weird carpet on his head saying insane shit and making world leaders go, I don't know what to do with this guy. Which is, by the way, the one thing that I liked about him. But anyway, he was... So they say they hate Pence because Pence kind of sold out Trump, right? When Trump didn't show up for the inauguration, Pence went. And Pence was the one who negotiated the transfer of power. And a lot of what the inauguration of Joe Biden felt like to me was a lot of Washington elites and insiders who have been part of the Washington system for decades. Clintons, now the Obamas have been around for some time, all the senators, it was almost like they were going, oh, we got rid of the guy. And even Mike Pence was able to go, hey, all right, I'm more one of you than I am one of him, so all right. And it just felt, I don't know, it felt a little gross, not in the sense that they were happy that Trump was gone, because there is what to be happy about Trump being gone, but the part where it's like they just went right back into their swamp, you know what I mean? They're like, ugh, we got rid of the ogre, now let's just...
Okay, if they're all still around, that means Trump didn't drain it.
He was never going to.
He was never going to.
It's impossible. How can one man drain a swamp that's hundreds of years of ingrained... a history with thousands of officials all throughout the country,
yeah,
all being part
bureaucracy.
Of it.
Bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is so thick that there's probably a, nerdy Jewish guy running a black ops department in some government office from the 1970s.
And he's just like an accountant.
And nobody even knows he's there, and he's still, you know, you never know. Because there's too much bureaucracy. Nobody even knows that he's down there in the basement.
He's got a little budget, but it's buried under so many different bills and appropriations and this and that.
Yeah, and he goes home, and he has Shabbos dinner with his mom, and he likes her gefilte fish, but he comes back by day, and he does some accounting and has people murdered.
His family must know that, like, every once in a while, he has to answer the phone on Shabbos.
And the account? Oh, the accountant! He's got to answer the phone! It's an accounting emergency!
Well, his Rav knows. His Rav knows. He's confided in his Rav, and his Rav has given him a heter.
His Rav knows that he takes people out?
No, his Rav knows that there's more to his job than necessary, and that in certain matters of national security, he needs to answer the phone on Shabbos.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, listen, if you're a good rabbi, and you're like it's not being a posek specifically, and you have an excellent one, right? You're Rav Nachmani Shaloni.
Rav Shaloni, yeah.
Okay. I knew it was one of those, like, it almost sounds like a first name, but it's a last name.
Which name sounds like
I thought
Shaloni?
It was Shaloni for a second. Deion Sanders has a daughter. Her name is Shalomi. He also has a son named Shedeor. Like,
Shedeor?
Elitzur ben Shedeor. Yeah, Shedeor. Anyway. So, what was I saying? Oh, right. So the thing about having a good rabbi is that he's not supposed to go, oh, okay, well, here's what the party line is, so that's what you have to do. He's supposed to listen to you, understand your needs personally, and then help you with a decision that helps to meet your needs, which is exactly what your Rav does.
Which is why, because it's the reason why I'm usually okay when he tells me no.
Because you know that it's crazy. You know you probably have to think about it and go, you know what? I was probably dumb when I asked it.
That's usually what... Usually it's me and Ellie arguing over something, and she goes, just ask the Rav. And I'm like, I am going to ask the Rav.
And he goes, your wife's white.
I wish I wasn't asking the Rav this question anymore. He's probably tired of kicking out questions already.
When that's why it was... Again, I used the word funny, but it wasn't a funny time. But when we got up from sitting Shiva for my mom, we had asked my childhood rabbi, who my father still learns with once a week for, I don't know, 30 plus years now, to do the ceremony of standing up from Shiva. You know, you go out of the house, you take like a walk around the exterior of the house, and then whatever. So we do the thing, we're sitting there, and he starts telling us all these things. Now that rabbi, he's a wonderful man. I love him dearly. However, he's a little strict. So he starts telling us all this stuff, and we're like, dude, we have heters for all this already. Like, stop talking. He's like, and then you can't listen to music for a year, and we're like, fuck that. The other rabbi said we could. Just wait till after Shloshim. Like, and I was like, stop talking. He's like, you can't buy any new clothes. I was like, please stop talking. But I did, I think at one point I did buy some new clothes, and I had my friend try them on and make a Shehecheyanu on them. And then I started wearing them after that.
Well, you can take the boy out of the Jewish day school.
But you can't take the Jewish day school out of the boy. Yeah, there's something about that. Yeah. So
I'm sure I've told about the time that my rabbi gave me a heter to be a Dudist priest.
You probably have told that story multiple times on the show.
But just, you know, you've got a good rabbi when he allows you to join a secondary religion.
The thing is about that story, he was so intrigued by what you were... Would you mind?
I'm just going to bring the bottle.
Oh, okay. He was so intrigued by the notion of what you were actually trying to ask him that... He was like, I don't know.
Right, because you said there's like, you follow the party line. He's like, I don't think we got a line for
there
this.
Is no party line for fake religions that want to ordain you. And then he had to ask his own rabbi.
So he went.
It was like a rabbi inception.
He went up the rabbi totem. Like, he started at the bottom. He's like, all right, let me ask one of my colleagues. And then when that didn't work out, they went to the computer labs and they started researching Dudism
to understand what it was,
and then they were like, still no, and they moved it all the way up to Rav Nevensal Shlita of the old city
because what they what their th-
thought was, if you're being ordained, it's a religion. But Dudism isn't a religion the way religions are religion. Dudism is just like a be a good person. And
so I was not there, but I have a fantasy in my head of what it was like when Rav Shiloni sat down next to Rav Nevensaw, who hasn't watched TV in 90,000 years, and he's just going, okay, man.
There's a movie called...
They peed on his rug.
There's a movie called The Big Lebowski, all right?
Okay, just those words.
What's it about? What's it about? Well, it's not really necessarily about anything. It's sort of character-driven more than plot-driven. He's like, okay, there's this guy called The Dude, all right? And he's like, all right.
Who's this guy? His name is Jeffrey Lebowski, but nobody calls him that. They call him Dude or Duder.
Or Marino, if you're not into the brevity thing.
But that's the point. So obviously Rav Shiloni didn't watch The Big Lebowski as a part of his research.
I want to believe that he did.
But that moment, either way, Rav Nevensaw
said,
here's
how you would've
just
known.
Because you say it's something is a religion doesn't make it a religion, and that was
how you would have known that they all watched the movie, if he would have come back to you and Rav Shiloni and be like, okay, listen, Michael, here's how it's going to go down. Rav Shiloni said that
Rav Nevensaw said
that you can do this. You're like, really? He said that? Well, you see, he's a good man
and thorough. I should have said that to Rav Shiloni when he called me.
You're such a good man and thorough.
Darn. Not fun.
Missed it. By the way, you mentioned Dave Chappelle earlier this week. Did you hear about earlier this episode? Did you hear what happened?
Muhammad
this
in Texas. It was so funny. So funny. It's all Corona anxiety jokes.
Him and Patton Oswalt this week?
No, did they have Patton a falling
Oswalt,
out?
No. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So Patton Oswalt did a show with was doing a show at the same night somewhere, and Dave Chappelle's like, "Hey, come out and see me." And they took pictures together, and he posted the pictures, and everybody went, "Patton Oswalt, how dare you take a picture with Dave Chappelle?" Dave Chappelle
hates the gay, transgender.
He's anti blah 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 blah. So what's his name? Patton Oswalt kind of apologized for it. But then everybody else is going like, oh, Patton, you're gross. Why would you apologize for doing that?
This dude was just honored.
And it's weird. It's just weird, too, because who, Patton?
No, Dave Chappelle was honored at the Kennedy Center.
Years ago.
It was not years ago. It was like 2 years ago.
It was before he made more.
No, it wasn't.
It was before he made any. More. It was before he made more. By the way, I'm convinced that the people who think he's transphobic did not listen or watch his stand-up. For sure not, because, in fact, the new one was nicer than the other ones. He does have a foot... No, I'm not going to even go into that, because I don't need that kind of smoke right now. But he... So I just think it's weird that... So Patton Oswalt, who's been friends with Dave Chappelle for 30 years, has to now apologize for being friends with his friend?
Did you read the actual apology?
I read snippets from it, and it was...
Can you trust... Johnny,
can I trust anything? I don't trust anybody.
No, but snippets. How do you trust snippets in this day and age?
Do you want me to go on Instagram and find
it? I just want to know if he apologized for meeting Dave Chappelle, or did he apologize that his actions caused other people to feel bad?
It was more like that.
Okay, but that's not the same thing. Just like Dave Chappelle didn't actually...
Oh, here it is.
Did he go after the trans people?
I saw a friend... Oh, it's so long.
Just read snippets of it.
I saw a friend I hadn't seen in a long time this New Year's Eve. We'd known each other since we were teens. Blah, blah, blah. Wanted to post the story. 34 years we've been friends. He's so great. Planet Earth. Punchline. Good, bad. Disagree about transgender rights and representation. I support trans people rights. Anyone's rights. By the way, so does Dave Chappelle.
I agree.
He supports your rights to be whatever you want to be, but he also supports his own rights to make fun of you if he so chooses.
That's what comedians do.
Which is exactly what comedians do. By the way, I saw a video, and Patton Oswalt has made trans jokes also in the past. Just saying. They weren't funny at all, but yeah. And by the way, I happen to think Patton Oswalt is a tremendously funny person.
Please take the time to go watch Patton Oswalt on Parks and Rec.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The 12-minute,
but
so
go
good.
Watch his My Weakness is Strong. It's a fantastic stand-up routine. And you know what? In the latest one he did, which came out after his wife had passed away, and then he subsequently got remarried, something that he said in that comedy stand-up bit is, I don't want to say it's the reason I'm in the relationship that I'm in now, but it gave me a motivation and a freedom. Basically, what he said was, he was talking about like meeting this new woman and getting remarried. If you find love, run to it. Run to it. And I've been thinking about that a lot. And I've thought about it since I got divorced. I thought about it through all this stuff. And now I'm in a wonderful, committed, amazing relationship. And I've thought about it over and over again that I saw a potential for love and I ran to it. And I didn't want to lose the opportunity. And part of what gave me that motivation was, weirdly, Patton Oswalt's stand-up. And if I ever would meet him, I'd tell him that.
You have a awesome superpower where you can remember very, very specific quotes and lines very, very well.
When they hit me in the right place at the right time.
But they stay with you forever.
Though. Except the fact that, look, we saw Spider-Man coming to America last week, right? What was it called? Spider-Man No Way Back.
No Way Home, buddy.
No Way Home. Right. Right. Spider-Man.
You can't remember a specific...
Homer Simpson. I can't remember a single line from that movie. I know I laughed a few times, but I don't remember a single line that was funny.
I've been talking about it nonstop with my students now that I finally
now
see
that you've
it.
Seen it.
There's like 10 of them and I'm holding court. That's what Eugenie always calls it, holding court.
Yeah,
when you're surrounded
that.
By a bunch of teenagers. And like, Michael, what'd you think? And I was like, oh, well, pitch meeting.
I used to do that in...
I have been quoting... David Schleider to many, many, many people because David said a bunch of cool stuff about the movie.
What? His best take was it was doing fan service without overdoing the fan service.
And that was it. He also said something else, which I also quoted. I can't remember it at the moment, but I loved the movie so much and it was so great. But Johnny and I had a really cool, we were trying to finally like rank the best Marvel movies to see if it made it into the top five. And that was cool. Cause it didn't. Neither for me, but it did make it into the top 10. It's definitely in the top 10 Marvel movies. And now that there's 23-4 of those suckers, a top 10 makes... A top 10 is cool now. When there were 12 movies, when there were, you know, 15 movies, a top 10 didn't matter. Only the top 5 matter. The more and more movies you get, the bigger... The more that coveted top five spots are.
I was having a hard time trying to figure out. I know for me, number one is for sure Captain America the Winter Soldier. There's no question. I don't know what the rest is for me, really. We talked about it and we tried to come up with some ideas, but they're all varying degrees of good. There's only one or two that are absolute crapola. There's one for sure that's absolute crapola, and that's Iron Man 3. Is there more?
So I told you that over the summer I had to rewatch that with Shalva, and it wasn't as bad as I remember.
I did a whole Chazara leading up to going to see Infinity War, and it was terrible.
That was already like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, but I rewatched everything.
I don't know why.
I didn't like it.
Shalva loved it.
I didn't like it at all. I still don't forgive them for how they treated the Mandarin. It's not right what they did to the Mandarin. So
spoilers for all you people.
So
I want to get back into the spoiler war.
Basically, here's
movies behind.
Here's my review of Spider-Man without any spoilers. It was very, very, very good. Number one, it was really good. And what I would ask you to do if you haven't seen it yet. To prepare to when you do see it.
Is that not a spoiler what you're about to say?
No, it's not.
Because
you know there's going to be action scenes in the movie.
Okay.
Pay attention to the cool camera angles that they use in the action scenes.
Yeah.
The action scenes are very well filmed and really cool looking, especially the one in the middle. See, I can't tell you who's even in the scene. Spider-Man's in it. But I can't tell you who else is in it because there's so much in the movie that can to be spoiled. From the oh, this is what happened in the end, to
what about the scene,
this is the character that showed up.
What about the scene at the end of the movie that also had Spider-Man in it?
The action
that was
scene?
Also a good scene.
Yeah.
There sure. were several really good scenes with Spider-Man in them.
The best thing that I could say for those movies, honestly, is Tom Holland is so infinitely likable.
He is.
He's so likable. And the best part about that, at least for Marvel Studios, but is a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a landmine for him, but something he has to be conscious of is he's only 25, right? So he can play this character for another 20 years if he wants to. He might not want to. He definitely probably wants to play it a little bit more. Anyway,
it bothers me that
the only
so
thing
short.
He has to do is not get in trouble.
He said in an interview that if he's still playing Spider-Man 10 years from now, then he's made a giant mistake in his career.
Yes, because it means that he can't do anything else, which is what's been cool.
Hugh Jackman always had
Hugh
roles.
Jackman, was Hugh Jackman a star before? But Hugh Jackman also...
Yes, he was.
He also has a Broadway background, right? So Hugh Jackman could
and,
do...
And he doesn't? And
Tom Holland's been, what?
Dancing on Broadway
stages.
He was
Billy
Elliot.
Right. Okay, so that helps him too, because what happens is, right, what I know for a while what Hugh Jackman was doing was he would go do an X-Men movie, make a buttload of money, and then go, like, do Oklahoma on Broadway for a year, and make much less money, and then he'd be like, it's time to make some more money again. I guess it's
I'm gonna be in an X-Men movie for 12 seconds. Done. Like, and now I can finance my own Broadway show. And making videos with Ryan Reynolds.
As X-Men Apocalypse was a bit of a miss as a movie.
A bit more than a miss as a movie.
The Weapon X part of the movie was amazing. And it was one of those things where you go, I never thought I would see that on screen, right? The part where he steps out and he's like shirtless and he's got the crazy helmet on and the wires and you're like...
Except he had that in X-Men Origins. Wolverine Origins.
It didn't look like the Barry Windsor
No, it didn't. I'm just saying, but the thing and the stuff...
And it's just amazing and awesome and I love it. Now, there was a serious thing that you wanted to bring up today, and in the short amount of time we have left in the show, would you like to discuss the situation? Well, here's the thing.
Ooh, I have one more story to tell before we get there, which is super interesting. Okay?
Maybe you should wait until after and end the show with it, because we're going to get into, like, child abuse and, like,
it's,
all that.
It's sort of half-related to child abuse. Maybe I'll segue into... So, as a part of the Israeli society trying to get students to be more accepting of others and fix society, they took the 11th graders on a tour of South Tel Aviv. And they brought them to the bus station. Brought them to the Tachanun Merkazi. And they hung out in a park outside of the station while they were getting a tour from this guy. And while they were on tour, a bunch of the teachers... I'm just making a list. This wasn't all at the same time, but this was seen throughout. They saw prostitutes. They saw people shooting up with heroin. They saw people snorting stuff. They saw prostitutes going to buy drugs. They saw a dude get arrested for trying to get a prostitute. This is what my 11th graders were exposed to.
Okay.
And then they did a tour of the Tachanun Merkazi so they could see how disgusting and how there were, like, homeless people living all over it. And it's just the worst, and how it destroyed the neighborhood.
There's an incredible...
It's the second biggest bus station in the world.
Yes, correct.
And it's the worst thing ever.
Well, it wasn't always supposed to be that.
It was never supposed
that.
To be.
It was supposed to be, like, an amazing, cool place with a shopping mall, but it just turned into, like, a Blade Runner rundown nightmare.
Yeah.
There's a six-screen movie theater down in there somewhere in the catacombs under... There's a tunnel that's so full of endangered bats, it's considered a...
So that was... They got rid of that.
They got rid of the bat tunnel?
Yeah, because they're destroying it.
They're
destroying the Tachanun Merkazi.
Well, they had, like, a habitat for these bats, so... I mean, honestly, as much as I don't... As much as I also would prefer to conserve things, that building's got to go, and the bats are a small price to pay
So they said that the Tachana Merkezit, the bus station, you know, was responsible for a lot of the decimation around it and all the awfulness.
Yeah, because it was so big and so unwieldy and so
unusable. You know, the refugee, one of the refugee offices in for refugees in Israel is in the Tachana Merkezit.
Still,
yeah,
usable.
It's like an office. That's why.
Does it open to the street, or do you have to actually go?
You
in
have
the
to
building?
Go in. I think.
Oh God,
it's very crazy, and it was just like. Some of the students were, first of all, some of the students were like, it was amazingly interesting. At some point, they had like a lecture with a refugee who had come to Israel, and he had this super interesting story about the fact that he knew that he wanted to become a part of society, and he knew that he needed to become a contributing member. So what he ended up doing was begging a yeshiva to take him in, like a high school yeshiva to take him in. And even though he wasn't religious, they're like, we'll take you, but you got to do all this stuff. And he was like, no problem. And he just sort of like became a religious Jew for a certain amount of time so he could get a Tudat Bagrut. They gave him a Bagrut, and now he's got like, you know, a university degree, and he's like made it in his life.
Have you ever seen this photo before?
Is this relevant to what we're talking
about? Yes, that's what it was supposed to look like. I'm going to show the picture. All right, for those of you who don't know, this is what the Tachana Merkezit in Tel Aviv was supposed to look like. Look at that.
That white.
That cousin. White sort of Art Deco style with it. It had a little skyscraper connected to it.
That's crazy.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Failed.
It was not that.
So apparently that guy's talk was very interesting about how he made it through society despite, because he's, you know, part of the people that live all around there. And some of the kids were like, wow, this is amazing. The terribleness, like the terribleness is so terrible. But there were some kids who were like, who cares? Like, to they're just like, what does this have to do with us? Why'd you even bring us here? Why are you showing us this decimation? And there, why we don't have to fix this? We're not broken.
It's
they're
not
broken.
About
they
you
should
having
fix
it. To fix it. It's about learning the past. It's about understanding your world. It's about understanding the city that a lot of these kids grew up in. It's about understanding. A little bit of urban renewal, a little bit of like urban history. Forget the refugees, forget the crime for a second. Learn about how an idea for something that's supposed to bring a lot of good to a city can go wrong, and what the outcome can be when it's not handled correctly.
So you're saying that they...
It's a history lesson.
It's a history lesson.
It's an architecture lesson. It's an urban design lesson. There's so many different...
So you're saying that if we had changed...
If you're uncomfortable...
Let me say, if we had changed the perspective, and instead of going, you guys need to help society so stuff like this doesn't happen, but
exactly.
Instead you said, if you understand what caused this, you can make decisions so you would never be responsible
for... How did they get there?
Did they all get
on a bus and get driven there?
I don't know. I didn't go. No, specific class didn't go.
Was it a school-sanctioned event?
Yes.
So technically they would
go to school, they would
get on a private bus and drive there. Okay. First part of the trip should be, and the 15-minute drive on the way there, somebody gets up and says, here's a little history about why this building even exists in the first place. You give the kids 5 minutes. This guy said that person said this, they designed this, blah, 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 blah. Let's see how it all worked out.
Oh my God.
And then you pull up, and then you're standing in front of, you know,
people doing heroin.
Ghost town full of hookers and heroin addicts.
That's so amazing.
Because it's a fascinating place. But if you're uncomfortable with the human misery aspect of it, or if being introduced, then do a different context. But there's so many different contexts that building can fall into that are all interesting ways to think about. All interesting things to think about.
I'm going
to
talk to the assistant principal of the 11th grade, and because she was on the trip, and also she knows what they were trying to do. And I'm going to ask her about what you just said and see if I can't manipulate my students that way.
And enjoy that.
I mean, teach.
Now, was there anything that you... So the other... The story that Michael wanted to talk about was the Chaim Walder story. And if you hadn't heard about it...
Everyone's heard about it.
He's a horrifying mess of a child abusing, wretched, terrible person who got who got away with it for decades.
Yeah.
Manipulated horribly the people around him.
threatened to kill himself if anybody else ever went forward against him, and I guess he was true to his word on that one, because he did. And eventually the allegations start to come out, and he ends up killing himself, which is...
In prison or at home?
At his son's grave.
At his son's grave.
He had a child who died of an illness. I don't know exactly what the illness was, but he... Basically what happened was is somebody who was nearby heard the gunshot. It was in Petah Tikva, and they called the police, and they went to the cemetery, and they found him dead of a gunshot wound over it by his son's grave, basically. And the fallout has been pretty terrible. In fact, one of his accusers ended up taking her own life as a result of this whole situation. And what was so? What specific was there? Something specific?
Yeah, there were two things that I wanted to ask. Okay, because I haven't been talking about this particular subject with a lot of people. I've been speaking about it with Ellie a little bit. But there's two things that my brain keep thinking about. One is, here are the two questions. One is, do you think all of his books should be thrown out? And
number two
was really more of a statement of, it's really weird to watch this feeling as like an outsider, because I'd never heard of this guy.
I'd never seen those books before.
And there, everyone else out there seems to be talking to him. Everyone goes, yeah, I've seen those books. I've read them. Ellie said that those books were all over her childhood, and that they were like good stories, that the teenagers were actually like, this is a real human being, and I connect to the stories that are being told, and that they were special books.
Okay, here's
right. And me and you are just going, okay, here's another story of another monster.
We talk about this a lot, which is divorcing the art from the man, the art from the person. And I think that in many cases, I think in some cases it's an easy no-brainer, and I think in some cases, there needs to be some context that you can maybe, right? Because I know that despite all of the stuff that came out and was actually proven in court, you still watch The Cosby Show from time to time.
Yes, I would probably not have a problem.
In that case, you're able to divorce the person from the art. In this case, I would say his books need to be stricken from the record because of a bunch of different reasons. Number one, we're talking about children here. And this is a guy who was, I don't know, who he was, what age group. I don't know about the demographics of his victims. I don't know anything about that. But I think that you need to protect the children, and let's move these books. Let's get rid of these books out of the way. And then, okay, so our kids won't have some books that were probably pretty, that sound like they were well written and whatever, but they won't have them. Another reason is because of, like, the whole...
Well,
one of the things you have to also think about is the incredible number of sins, like, pure sins against people, against a religion and God and man and child and woman and everything. All of that adds up to a pretty damn, right? And if his books are supposed to be kosher books for kids, and this guy was doing the things that he was doing, no, I think that his legacy,
you make needs an
to
excellent
be,
argument.
I think his legacy needs to be completely stricken from the record. However, I also think that his legacy needs to be propped up in the sense that I think that we need to use this example to make sure that it never happens again. To open up better dialogue when kids are suffering at the hands of an abuser. To open up, to lessen the shame that people feel when they are manipulated in a situation like this. And to give people the space to be able to react and to talk about their feelings and their personal truths and their ability to be human beings. Because this guy robbed a number of people of their basic humanity to the point where
somebody who
took their
own life as a result of him taking his. So on the one hand, yeah, don't burn the books, but let's just not discuss them or sell them or keep them around anymore. But on the other hand, let's build a statue to the guy with a plaque on it that says, to our eternal shame, so that we never forget that it happened, and use that to motivate ourselves to make a safer and better world for people to live in, to feel comfortable in how they share their traumas.
You're right. Very, very good arguments. Because of the whole talk, I actually did speak with Shalva 2 days ago, and I just sort of went up to her and I just said, hey, if anybody who tries to touch you and you don't want them to touch you, I 100% believe you, and you will not get in trouble for whatever it is that they say you're going to get in trouble for unless you do that. That's not a thing.
I've told...
That was it. She was like, okay, daddy. I was like, we're here. That's it.
I've told similar things to my daughter, and my daughter, who is currently dealing with somewhat of a bullying situation at school, tells me when stuff happens, she tells me. And not only that, but she goes to the school social worker and tells her, too, when if it happens in her school. So she knows how to, I hope. I mean, you never know, and God forbid she's ever in that situation, but she seems like she can, in some ways, take care of herself and stick up for herself. Obviously, she's 10. 10-year-olds make mistakes. Who knows what can happen? But I give her the space to share with me whatever she needs to share with me. And I'm always open and loving and as empathetic as I possibly can be when it comes to that. And that's what I think that we all... I think that if there's any takeaway from the situation, it's to listen to people when they tell you something, to give them space when they share something that is really hard for them or something that is really traumatic for them, and to try to make sure to believe people when they talk about terrible things that happened. Well, okay then.
Preach.
And on that note, that's going to do it for us on episode 1 of season 9 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. That guy's Mike. This guy's Johnny. We loved talking to you all. Hug your loved ones. Tell them that you love them and that you believe them and that you hold them in your heart and give them space. And we
love I don't know where the button is.
And we love
this.
You all.
I think it's that.
Okay, wait. Maybe I can do it from here.
Probably not.
Can I?
I don't think so. Hold on.
I want to say my little...
Do you want to continue and end live video? End live video!
Okay, bye.
Okay. I don't know what happened to that video. Hopefully it's ending up in a video. Oh my gosh.
I want to talk about fat shaming and body positivity next week. Here's my question, as it pertains to fat shaming and body positivity. It's really very simple. Because I obviously don't want to shame anybody. Ray, for example, yesterday, Ray tells me, the other day, Ray's doing exercises. And she goes, I have to get rid of this. I was like, why? She goes, I don't like it. I was like, Ray, I want you to know that no matter what size or shape your body is, you are beautiful.
I don't know what happened to the video. Oh,